Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Internet Marketing brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. And in today's show, Kelvin talks to Greg Sterling and Dylan Fuller about the upcoming 5th Local Social Summit coming up in November. All coming up in Internet Marketing.
The Local Social Summit is coming up quite soon. Dylan, can you tell us a bit about kind of how the event came about and, you know, kind of the thinking behind it to some extent?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Kelvin. Yeah, so Local Social Summit will be running its 5th year. It takes place on the 19th of November, which is a Tuesday in London. And the history of the event is actually goes back further than 5 years. We had an invite-only event called Local Search Summit. That was focused around local newspapers and yellow page publishers back in the days when a couple of us worked at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. But we started to see already in 2008 how social media was really disrupting the local media landscape. And so we thought we would widen the event and not just to be about local search, which is fairly can be a bit esoteric and a bit technical. And we also thought we wanted to widen the audience. So we had the idea to create a public event, which we did our first time in 2009 in London. And I think you even came along at least to the second one in 2010.
Yeah.
And so we've tried to expand the event to be, the premier event based in the UK, looking at that intersection of local and social media. And as we all know, over the last few years, increasingly it's all about what's happening on your mobile devices, because that's really enabled so many cool things to start to happen in the local space.
And I mean, I think that was, as I remember, I don't know if this is kind of a false recollection, but it's certainly kind of how I recall it, that it was at that event was the first time I kind of heard the solo mo kind of amalgam of social, local and mobile kind of used in any real kind of useful context. It certainly kind of feels like it was kind of ahead of the game there on that side of things. And Greg, I know you've been kind of heavily involved in the conference over the years and you're kind of keynoting this time around. What are kind of some of the, you're talking about kind of some of the key trends and topics. Is that fair to say? And what are some of those big topics that you think are kind of dominating this kind of intersection between local and social?
Well, in the last couple of years, I've done a big trends or top trends discussion at the event. And it's a way to sort of get a lot of topics in quickly. And it's interesting because certain things have remained consistent over the years and other things have changed. Obviously, there are new developments all the time in the technology sector, but certain persistent issues remain. This year, I'll be talking about things like local commerce, the marriage of the online and the offline, service businesses adopting online reservations and payments and scheduling, that sort of thing. We'll be talking about indoor location in a couple of places in the event, and that's a very exciting and potentially game-changing development for retailers and for consumers, and also for online measurement, ROI, analytics more generally and broadly. That's a big trend. One of the things that remains a persistent challenge or issue in the market that will be addressed in a couple of different contexts at the show is the challenge of digital marketing for small businesses. You know, the market seems to be getting much more complicated rather than simpler, especially with mobile devices and all the new services. And the ability of small businesses to figure it all out and keep up remains a very difficult thing, and so there'll be some discussion of that, and also Neil Polacek will be doing a session on what is the real addressable market. I mean, we hear about millions and millions of small businesses being out there and available to purchase these different marketing services, and we're going to be taking a closer look at what is the real market for these services and these sales channels. Is it the full X million, or is it a much smaller subset of those businesses, you know, and what are the services that they really are interested in?
And who do you think are going to be kind of the key players in that space? Because I know when I went a few years ago, it looked like Groupon were kind of going to sweep in, and kind of because of their strong sales force, because of their ability to kind of, you know, immediately show return on investment. It looked like they had a really strong place to play there. And I think the story of Groupon since then has been kind of, you know, a dramatic one. And perhaps, you know, maybe an excessively overstated fall from grace, but certainly does feel like the circumstances there are a bit different. Do you think that there will come this kind of winner takes all, someone will come in and help all this addressable market? Or will it actually continue to be this kind of slightly fragmented, complex place where you've got a lot of people trying desperately to get some market share and, you know, kind of get in a good place before the kind of merger and acquisition stuff shakes out?
I think that's a challenging question to answer concisely. However, however, on the Groupon aspect of it, I think Groupon was a kind of a trailblazer in several ways. The execution was flawed, and I think, and then the larger market was saturated by too many competitors, and there were problems. You know, they're sort of evolving into a kind of a travel and a travel company in some respects, and then they're doing some things with mobile payments for services. So Groupon remains an important company, but certainly not the transformative engine of the market that it was. Saw itself as. Regarding the fragmentation question, I don't think the small business market or the local market broadly is a winner-take-all market. On the consumer side, there is an aspect of that. We do see a lot of concentration in a handful of large companies. Facebook, Google are the two obvious examples. Below that top tier, there are a lot of companies, a lot of mobile app developers. And on the B2B side, on the enterprise side, it will continue to be quite competitive, unless the large publishers, Facebook, Google, etc., really develop a more easy to adopt kind of a marketing solutions. Google have been at it for the better part of a decade and have not been successful in really getting. On-ramping these small businesses directly, and they've had to rely on partners to sell them. Facebook have a terrific opportunity. The question is, can they execute against it in a way that will be effective? They have 18 million small business pages or local pages on Facebook. Can they translate those into advertisers? I mean, that's the real question for them. I think if I have to answer yes or no, the market will remain fragmented, especially in the enterprise side, for the foreseeable future.
And I suppose, yeah, that's going to be the real tricky challenge for Facebook, is it's about prioritization, isn't it, for those guys? There's 101 things that they could do, but kind of strategically they're going to have to make decisions about what are going to be those top priorities. And I suppose the one that's going to, you know, being that they've been through that IPO process, being that kind of share price is such a key one on that, it's like, although ultimately I suppose the local business is a good nut to crack and a big one, it's probably the bigger wins they're going to see is kind of going after those, you know, stealing from ad TV budgets, I suppose, perhaps, rather than taking a few dollars from lots and lots of businesses, perhaps.
Yeah, I mean, I think Facebook is very focused on those FMCG brands and still sort of satisfying that at a mass scale. I mean, just one thing to add to Greg's comments. In the UK, we're definitely seeing the reemergence of some interesting old players helping small businesses. And one of those is BT, because they're providing, you know, website hosting, You know, they're providing the broadband into local businesses. They're trying to provide them with payment solutions. They're trying to provide them with marketing services. So in a way, they've sort of started to widen the offering. So it's kind of interesting to see that trend.
And to what extent the kind of, you know, you both touched upon the kind of the payment, the mobile payment functionality there, and the kind of the launch of Stripe here in the UK. And the like, do you think that's kind of going to play a key part? And, you know, what should small business owners know about how that's kind of playing out in the States? Because probably what's playing out in the States there is going to kind of maybe be a good indication of what's going to happen here in Europe afterwards.
Well, I would say yes and no. I mean, it's interesting because for years people said Asia is the leading indicator of what's happening in the mobile market generally. And I think that that's no longer true. I mean, I think we're seeing divergence in certain markets because of cultural factors, infrastructure, and other things. So with payments in particular, I don't know the answer off the top of my head, but it may be the case that the near field communications NFC infrastructure is much better established in Europe than it is in the United States. So as you know, we're on the cusp of the release of iOS 7 and the new iPhones. And iOS 7 has iBeacon, which is a tied into Bluetooth Low Energy. And in the U.S., Apple and PayPal and several other companies that are pushing Bluetooth Low Energy, and of course Nokia have championed it globally with their Indoor Location Alliance, we may see Bluetooth Low Energy completely displace NFC for mobile payments in the U.S. market, if not globally, whereas NFC may well be established enough in Europe that it continues on as a standard. So that remains to be seen. In terms of the local angle, the small business angle, I think there's an interesting commerce dimension here, which I alluded to and we'll be talking about at the conference. The idea that mobile payments, you have payments in the cloud, and a lot of the point of sale systems that are being installed, Square and Stripe and others, will process payments in the cloud, and it makes it much easier to establish merchant accounts and so on. And I think that this now becomes a convenience factor. I mean, Dylan and I were talking about Halo and some of the mobile cab apps. You have a card on file. You have a scheduling or reservation system. The card is simply debited when the transaction occurs. I think that will increasingly be the case for many small business verticals. And that's the way payments will penetrate that arena.
And that's interesting because you talked there about Halo and kind of Uber. And I think it's really interesting Uber. So for the people who perhaps might not be quite so familiar for that in Europe, because it's still kind of relatively new here in the UK, it's kind of a cab-based service.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Where it's kind of a little bit more mobile savvy than kind of a lot of kind of, you know, traditional cab businesses would be. But I think what they've raised these, you know, crazy valuations on, you know, the future potential of Uber. And a lot of that is because actually it's going to be more than just this. Because at the moment, it's you get your mobile phone out and you get your cab coming straight to you. And there's kind of this perception that once they've got that kind of infrastructure in place in the major cities, that they're going to be doing more than just cabs. You know, is there any kind of interesting bits you're foreseeing around those kind of guys like Uber and Halo that perhaps might be interesting for guys to come across that they might not have heard about?
Well, I think those represent models for other sectors. I mean, I think, you know, what you see often is a company that establishes a certain kind of new practice or model, and then others mm-hmm. emulate or replicate or clone it. And mm-hmm. in the U.S. And probably in Europe very soon, you've got now Yelp getting into commerce with online reservations. I think payments aren't very far behind for them in some respects. Mm. You've got a company called Reach Local here, which is also in the UK, which is a small business marketing sales entity, and they've created a consumer service. Whether it succeeds is another matter, called Club Local, which is modeled explicitly on Uber. It's a local services marketplace where you have a card and a scheduling capability online, and you get a plumber or some other tradesman to come out to your house, perform the job, and it's all processed and dealt with in the cloud, and that's an Uber clone, but in a different vertical. So I think we'll see much more of that. These new marketplaces emerge where everything is being managed in the cloud, the fulfillment is offline, and Groupon, in many ways, was the model for that early on. So this is part of this whole sort of local commerce wave that I think we see. Another thing I want to mention quickly that's sort of consistent with the trends discussion is indoor location. We'll be talking about that at the event. I've actually planned an entire conference in the U.S. on indoor location and the implications for the broader marketplace. But this will be one of the subjects at Local Social Summit, and it's a very, very interesting development. We could go into it at length, but the ability to see when people show up in stores after an ad exposure or a promotion and tie that back to an online ad campaign is a parallel to this whole local commerce development, and it really has some potentially radical implications for analytics, for data usage, for targeting, and in-store customer experiences that are quite profound. And I think we'll see that play out over the next several years. And Europe is a real hotbed of activity, at least as much as in the U.S. I mean, this is going to be one of the profound developments in the local space very soon that ties into this broader phenomenon of the online and the offline coming together.
Yeah, so this kind of universal analytics that's kind of come from Google Analytics perspective is universal analytics. That's this tracking of kind of offline and online far more seamlessly there. Do you think that you know, because I mean, I think it's a huge challenge from my experience of dealing with SMEs that, you know, already they're just kind of getting their head around maybe running a Facebook page, you know, maybe they've started to kind of have a bit of a Twitter profile. Do you think that they're really going to have the skills to kind of set up and manage a kind of a potentially quite complex analytics solution? Or do you think this is actually where this is most interesting? It's for those chains where they've got, you know, hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of branches across the country, and they're able to kind of go, okay, well, did this television advert during this major sporting event move the needle in terms of footfall on the following Saturday? Is it more of that end where this is going to be interesting? Or do you think there'll be a trickle-down effect that will be useful for perhaps people who are, you know, they don't have a digital marketing team. They might only have the one-man band or the couple of people working on the office in the, you know, in the store over the course of the week?
My answer would be twofold. I think in the near term, the second example, the enterprises with multi-locations are going to be the chief purchasers of these services and will be the ones that have some kind of centralized, sophisticated marketing department to be able to make sense of it all. The true small business is not, you know, they rarely look at analytics, let alone have the capacity to optimize marketing campaigns against them. So they are not going to be able to really benefit from this stuff in the near term. What they may be able to do is concentrate efforts on one or two channels with some success. You know, some of the small agencies that service this market may be able to help them out. In a generation, let's call it a decade or 15 years, when a new wave of business owners that have been reared on all these services as consumers come into their own as owners and entrepreneurs, then we'll see a kind of sea change where there is more sophistication and there is more utilization of these tools. The challenge in that scenario remains time and fragmentation. So even the most conceptually sophisticated person has some challenges around executing, and you know, time and budget constraints will still be a challenge for the small business market over time, even as people conceptually kind of embrace these things.
And I suppose ultimately it's good news for the small business owner because, you know, with this tracking, with this kind of functionality comes the greater likelihood of, you know, more of a cost per acquisition or a cost per lead or a cost per sale kind of advertising model emerging, doesn't it? And I suppose what you're then hopefully going to find is that for the small business owner, even if they might not fully understand the means at which that kind of tracking takes place or even be able to kind of compare across channels, it will hopefully give them the confidence that potentially the investments they are making, the small budgets that they do have to play with in terms of advertising and marketing, is being more effective.
Well, I think the sort of new marketplaces and the sort of online to offline commerce applications and tools that are becoming available will create more perceived value and transparency for them. And there will be, you know, they'll tend to focus on a couple of channels rather than the broad spectrum of things. So I think as a sort of directional trend, you're right. And you know, we're seeing more tools that are trying to prove value to the small business owner to take the opacity, if you will, out of the impression and click metrics that have dominated kind of online analytics and translate those into actual customers, offline sales, footfalls, things that are really much more transparent and accessible. You know, how many people made calls, how many people came through my door, that sort of thing.
So I had a comment there. I mean, I think that is actually kind of raises a challenge for the big players like Google and Facebook in this mobile world, is a lot of those small businesses, they don't necessarily need to buy any or buy very much advertising in a mobile world. What they really need to do is embrace some of these new technologies. So for example, Get Taxi, Halo, that taxi space. Taxis in London are basically small businesses, owner operated. They see the results automatically once they're on that service. You also get increasingly small businesses taking advantage of things like the whole event space. So they're, you know, not just having a pop-up restaurant, but actually having different events every night at your, local restaurant or pub, and you use something like an Eventbrite as your tool. They don't necessarily need to run any ads. They're just sort of it's that sort of online offline piece. So I think that's a challenge on who captures the revenue there.
I want to just echo that, and Dylan's made a very important point. I think that's right. We may be seeing some transition from selling of media placements, selling of traditional advertising, albeit in a digital context, to the selling of services, which is very different. Marketing services or that sort of thing.
And I suppose a small business owner will evaluate the value of that in a slightly different way, isn't it? It's like you can kind of, you know, get the concept of, you know, I'm buying my advert in a paper, say, for example, and, you know, there's a intangible, you know, output of that. Whereas like an Eventbrite, where it's like they are taking a commission on every person who makes a purchase. For Eventbrite, there's kind of a zero marginal cost of every additional event that's on there, isn't there? So for them, it doesn't really, you know, make much, you know, it's, you know, for them, they want that scale. But for the business owners, they can kind of get their head around why they're paying. It's like the credit card payment fee, isn't it? You know, the Eventbrite model, it's just an additional couple of percents that go across to Eventbrite, which is not too dissimilar to the kind of credit card payment model that, you know, will be very familiar to most small business owners.
Exactly.
Exactly. And then it's up to the apps. So in the sense of Halo has to do all the marketing, and Eventbrite needs to make sure, I mean, they actually do a bit of marketing and are driving some additional traffic to that small business, even though the small business may have the event on their website or do email marketing. Mm.
Fantastic. Well, I think that's given us a really good, a 15-minute version of kind of what is going to be, it sounds like a very busy, ram-packed day of really, really interesting stuff about local and social. We will share all the details of the conference and event on our in the show notes along with this podcast, so we'll make sure that you will be able to keep a track of all those details. And for those of you who are potentially outside the UK and wouldn't be able to make it along, we'll probably try and do a bit of a sum up piece of the podcast afterwards as well. So thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate that. It's great to get an insight into what is a really interesting, dynamic and complex area of digital marketing that I think all of us could do more to better understand.
All right. Thanks, Calvin.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voice line number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.